Hello and welcome to Panel to the People.
Hooray!
This is the panel show where we give power to the audience. And the first way we give power to the audience is we ask them what the title of the week's show is going to be. So can you give me a title that will comply with all Ofcom regulations and also common decency?
No, far too restrictive.
Pardon?
Far too restrictive.
Hello, welcome to Far Too Restrictive! I'm your chair, Mike Quinteo, and joining me this week we have Chris Mosen. Ben Addis. Will Sigman. And Dave Birch. We're going to start by getting our panellists warmed up with a round of complete lyrics. Here, they just have to complete the lyric in an amusing fashion. We've got to hold on to what we got.
Because if we don't, we'll fall very far and hopefully survive.
Because what we got is like the edge of a cliff. and we got to hold on. We really got to hold on.
Because if we don't, we'll be sucked out of the door of the space station.
We've got to hold on to what we've got. This is a tug of war.
We've got to hold on to what we've got because it's mine. It's the precious, mine.
Lest all the acquaintance be forgot.
Hang on, was that the line that follows, we've got to hold on to what we've got?
It's a new mashup. The line that comes on, we've got to hold on to what we got, is it doesn't make a difference if we make it or not. Okay. Lest all the acquaintance be forgot, is your new one.
Like, you know, what's his name? With the hair.
Sign the guest book.
Add me on Facebook.
The actual next line there is, and never brought to mind. Then you put me your arms around me and we tumble to the ground and then you say,
Hiponsi Onagi, I win judo.
You're under arrest. Let me read you your rights. You have the right to remain silent. You have the... What's next? I'm not a police officer. What are we doing here?
Read me the lyric again.
Well, you were
the lyric was, then you put your arms around me and we tumble to the ground and then I say,
oh, sorry, I thought you were someone else.
And the correct lyric there was... I think we're alone now. We're leaving together, but still it's farewell.
Because I won't be talking to you since you offended my hamster.
That one was, and maybe we'll come back to Earth, who can tell? 99 nights of the air, riding...
the tube.
Get your season pass now. Just half price.
Show your night card. Night of the air. 33% off.
The red balloon I released on each night.
Ah, I shall reference the original song.
Oh, is it? Oh.
Which no one
Rats! I thought that was a different song.
So, 99 nights of the air, ride on ground, scandal and Daily Mail.
99 nights of the air, ride on hydrogen horses. No smoking, please.
Na 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 na.
Batman.
That one was Hey Jude. I think we'll leave it there. Points go to Roz there for sheer brilliance in a single word.
For shamelessly copying XKCD.
Our next game is a game of blind charades. In this game, one member of our panellists will perform a charade to two other people who won't be able to see what they're doing. And the other panellists, the other remaining panellists, will have to describe the charade in such a fashion that the two guessers will be able to work out what's going on. Okay, so can Chris and Dan go into the soundproof booth? Okay, and now they're gone, can we have a book, film, or TV show from the audience?
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Pirates of the Caribbean, which one?
The first one, the one that was good.
Does it have a subtitle, or should we just go with Pirates of the Caribbean?
The Black Pearl.
The Black Pearl.
The Curse of the Black Pearl.
Yeah, Curse of the Black Pearl.
So Dave is going to be performing Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl, and Roz is going to be describing it. Take it away.
He's holding a cupped hand up to his eye and twirling his other fist next to his head.
Gordon Brown.
He's continuing to twirl his fist in a very placid and patient manner.
It's a film.
He is raising both of his hands with fingers outsplayed.
Jazz hands?
Mime.
If you think about what usually comes...
I thought that was improbable.
Anything can happen if you on look this
at,
show.
If you look at the number of words versus number of films distribution.
It's not actually 10 words, is it?
He's now counting on his... He's nodding, he's counting on his fingers. And he's now reached 3 fingers that he held up.
So either he's reconsidered and it's really 3 fingers and he's an idiot, or this is the 3rd word.
We hope.
Yes. He's holding one hand vertical and the other hand horizontal on top of it.
Da. Tetley, no.
He's now holding out one hand with all fingers outstretched.
5th word.
High five.
He's doing the same motion with vertical horizontal sort of crossover.
Another that.
Yes. He is now holding out both hands with all digits except thumbs outstretched.
8th word.
What happened to his thumbs?
He's repeating the horizontal vertical.
Another that.
Well, this is easy.
Something, something, da, something, da, something, something, da, something, something.
That
probably uniquely defines the film.
He is now holding up a single finger.
1st word.
He's holding 2 fingers up and placing them on his elbow. The crook thereof. Or wrist.
Is that the crook? I think that's the crook, in which case, 2 syllables.
Yeah. Similar motion, but with only 1 finger.
1st syllable.
Yeah, and now he's miming, eating things, and becoming very large.
Big. Fat.
Grow.
Fat? No.
He's pointing to his hand and eating from his hand, and pointing to his hand a lot. Specifically the palm.
Palm? No.
Popcorn.
And I'm desperate, I'm not going to give it away, because I've lost track of where we are, and I'm hoping I'm not saying the taboo word. Okay, he's now put 2 fingers back on the crook of his elbow.
2nd syllable.
Yep. He's now crouching down and crawling on the floor, and now he's got back up again. And now he's holding up 1 finger and waving his hands in a circle, and...
1st word is also the whole thing. Making this
second syllable.
I think you're on roughly the right lines.
I'm thinking sort of small animal on the floor.
He's now stroking a beard which is much longer than the beard which he possesses. So thus, he is stroking an imaginary beard which descends past his chest, and he's
Confucius.
he's
Gandalf.
Now, he's Dumbledore. Waving his hand thrusting it forward. Perhaps as though he were holding something in that hand and there was someone else. Oh, now he appears to have lost an eye.
Blackbeard? Pirates? What?
He's pointing at you excitedly, Dan.
God, I got it right. That isn't the aim of this game.
Okay, so Pirates of the Caribbean. The... Oh. And then there's
yes.
There's several.
He's now holding up all digits of one hand and 1 digit on the other hand.
6th word.
6th word.
Something. The 2nd word. The subtitle.
The reason everyone's laughed there is because he just stuck a single finger up at you behind your back.
I'm afraid we can't.
The rude gesture? What?
Actually,
Pirates of the Caribbean, the rude gesture of Johnny.
He's now. The rude gesture is emerging from his mouth.
Good lord.
The vomitorium. So it's Pirates of the Caribbean, the something. God, I'm completely mind-blown.
I think it's the first one, but I can't remember.
You think it's the first one?
Pointing at you.
The second one is the second one is called Dead Man's Chest, I think, or something like that.
Yeah.
And the third one is something World's End. I think it's short.
It's actually the World's End.
I think it's shorter than that.
And
yes.
The new one's On Stranger Tides, which doesn't have Thorin in it at all. Yeah. So the first one, The Curse of the Black Pearl.
Okay, and now we are going to switch this round. So Roz and Dave, can you go into the soundproof booth, please? And can we have the title of a film, book, or TV show? Possibly one slightly shorter.
Question time.
Question time. Dan will perform, and Chris will describe. Take it away.
Okay, he is drawing a rectangle with his fingers.
TV.
He did a nice little thumbs up there. He raises two fingers.
Two words.
He puts two fingers on his arm. On the crook of his arm, as it is called. Apparently, I'm told.
Two syllables?
Two syllables.
which of the words is two syllables?
he puts the two fingers in the air again.
The second word.
He motions as though to cut his own throat. Then puts two fingers in the air, then one finger on the crook of his elbow.
The second word has one syllable.
The first syllable of the second word is him killing himself.
Two fingers in the air.
Second word.
Second word.
And then he points at his wrist.
Wrist. Watch.
Alright. He puts both hands above his head.
Moose.
And then, keeping one of them stationary above his head, he then moves one to his, rotating to his right in increments 12.
Clock.
Clock.
Time.
He seems happy about that.
Time.
So, the
second
word.
One finger in the air.
First word.
One finger in the air. He strokes his beard and looks quizzically into the middle distance.
Philosophy time. Question time.
The glass by Sherrod, sir.
The second word of question time doesn't have two syllables.
I cut my own throat.
Do you call it question to me?
I feel I have to deduct some points from Dan for making a clock that went backwards.
It worked.
But it's okay because it was in the right direction for us.
Is it in the right direction for you? Not. No, it wasn't. Is it in the right direction for him?
I was trying to be clever.
And failing.
I would have gotten away with it if it weren't for you pesky chairman.
So, minus points for Dan there.
Aww.
Yeah, tough. That's just how it works.
Sense an uprising.
Our next game is audience sound effects.
Yay!
In which the audience sound very enthusiastic.
Yay! Oh!
They've got the hang of it already. To warm you up, we're going to get you to provide sound effects to a well-known song. Everyone was Kung Fu Fighting.
Sound effects rather than the bass part.
Very good.
Audience bass part is a later round.
Those cats were fast as lightning. And it was a little bit frightening.
A little bit.
But they fought with expert timing.
I want to hear some expertise here.
That's just timing.
Okay, so can we have a title for the first story, please?
Health and Safety Gone Mad.
Ah, something which also appropriately fits the show. Far too restrictive. Okay, so can we have a story involving lots of sound effects entitled Health and Safety Gone Mad from Chris and Dan?
One morning, Steve, the health and safety inspector, was walking to work.
as he was walking, something started flashing in front of his eyes.
Iris, you reduced exposure.
Oh no, he said. The health and safety alarm.
Quick, to the H&S mobile, he cried. Turn the ignition, and he was away.
He quickly drove to Wales.
He thought that stereotype was awful about all the sheep that was around, but continued driving.
What's this? He said. An unguarded manhole?
He quickly, hurriedly, got out of the car and inspected the manhole.
This, he thought, is lesser in diameter than one of those sheep.
This could be problematic for all concerned.
Quick as a flash, he dashed to the nearest sheep and hoisted over his head.
Running back to the manhole, he held the sheep above the manhole.
This, he thought, is a task for my complicated sheep manhole plugging machine.
The sheep looked remarkably frightened by his sheep manhole plugging machine.
But he activated it anyway without remorse.
Placing one end on the back of the sheep, he drove the sheep firmly into the manhole.
Oh no, he thought. I should have checked if anybody was in the manhole. What have I done?
He decided to pull the sheep back out using his inverse sheep out of manhole machine.
It was just as he feared. There were some rascally urchins in the manhole.
Hello, Captain!
They were not conforming to all the health regulations of people involved with sewer work.
He begrudgingly threw them a rope.
Oh, a rope!
He dragged them up to the top and handcuffed them immediately.
But then he thought, hold on, that was hardly a safe manoeuvre. What have I done?
In a fit of madness, he leapt down the manhole, pulling the sheep with him and blocking off all the hope of escape.
And now he lives to this day, regretful health and safety inspector in the sewers of Wales.
The end.
The end.
Yes, and we saw up there also that the sewer was far too restrictive. We're going to play World's Worst, in which the audience will provide us with a series of professions, and the panellists will elucidate on how the world's worst member of that profession would act. So can I have a profession from the audience, please?
Arista, architect.
Let's start with architect.
So, Neo, I've got to admit, I haven't put the research in. You're something. You're possibly the definitive, or the main, or something like that. I'll come to it. Anyway, you should probably kill that guy in the suit.
So, here are the plans for the house. It's got one door and two windows, and here's the cat outside, and there's the sun, and it's shining, and there's some grass.
Is there, perchance, smoke coming out of the chimney?
Yeah, a little spiral of smoke.
Can we have another profession, please?
Ice skater.
Ice skater. The world's worst ice skater.
All right, I've got 500 pounds of skate. Now, where's the ice?
All those other ice skaters seem to have very huge amount of difficulty standing still, so I brought some snowshoes. I figure you've got to walk before you can run.
And one last profession from the audience, please.
TV chef.
TV chef, the world's worst TV chef.
Okay, so first of all, we put in the electricals and we start sauteing them. Then we put in the volume dial and the remote control, just a slight garnish of electron beam.
And then if you add milk, there you have it, a cereal.
We'll leave it there. Points go to Dan for making cereal. Congratulations, Dan, you're now back on zero.
Yay!
Okay, point one.
Yay. Oh, come on, guys, I need at least a 2-2.
Now we're going to have a quick shopping channel. Roz and Dave are going to sell two items in the style of an American shopping channel. Can I have a mundane item from two mundane items from the audience, please?
Sword.
A sword? Very, very mundane and everyday there.
Rolling pin.
A sword and a rolling pin. Okay. And what's unusual about this sword? You wouldn't normally expect of a sword. What property does it have?
It's made of cake. It's collapsible.
A sword? Oh, a collapsible. A collapsible sword that is also made of cake. And what is special about this rolling pin?
Made of asbestos.
No. What is special about this rolling pin? We've had made of and collapsible.
It's 100 metres long.
It's 100 metres long. Oh. A rolling, so you are selling a collapsible sword made of cake and a rolling pin 100 metres long. Take it away.
Hello and welcome to the Capitalism Network.
And it's great to be with you here today, and we're all just thanking that communism never really worked out in any of the forms in which it was tried.
You could try turning over to the Communism Channel, but it doesn't work. Moving on, we've got some fantastic items to sell to you today that you'll be interested in buying, definitely buying, because you're watching the Capitalism Network. It's all about buying. What do we have today, Ross?
Well, today we've got a very useful item for anyone who, well, is anyone, really. Anyone who likes pointy things and also edible things.
Pointy things and edible things? You're not talking about a pineapple, are you?
Oh, well, that's an interesting question that you should ask, Dave. Because, no, we're not talking about the pineapple.
What could it be? Pointy and edible.
Now, have you ever just had one of those occasions when you're in a duel to the death and you just wish you could have a snack?
Oh, I find myself in that situation all the time.
Don't we just every day find ourselves in such situations? I know I do.
I know I do. Well, how could we possibly resolve this conundrum?
Well, we have just the item on offer for you today. It's this remarkable sword made of cake.
A cake sword?
A cake sword, if you will, but that's copyright infringing.
Not a short one, so not a cake knife, but a cake sword.
Indeed not. No, no. It's an important distinction to be made there, but it could be a short one if you wanted it to be.
Really?
Yes. Oh, yes. Because this sword is collapsible.
Let me have a look at that there. I see, yes, if you eat the central parts, you can shorten the length of it.
That's right. It's the clever inbuilt mechanism for whenever you find yourselves in a cake sword duel and you need to go up a spiral staircase, it's a little narrower than you were expecting. Just nibble the middle and your problems are solved, as the slogan goes.
Absolutely wonderful. Very well, very good. Well, I also have an item that we are selling today.
And what are you selling today, Dave?
Well, have you ever found yourself in a situation where, for example, you're trying to make a cake sword yourself at home? Not that you should do that, because it's incredibly difficult. You should buy from
us. And also copyright infringing.
Indeed so. But you're trying to make some kind of cake, and you want to make a very large cake in order to feed a very large number of people.
Or indeed, in order to enter a biggest cake in the world championship.
Indeed, a biggest cake in the world championship.
Because I enter such championships on a fortnightly, if not weekly, basis.
How do you go about making your cake for the competition?
Well, it's so difficult, Dave. I mean, I'm trying to roll out the pastry-type substance of which, for some reason, my cakes tend to consist. It's a special recipe that I designed myself. And it's just so hard to get the whole length of the pastry to an even consistency.
Well, what you need is a rolling pin that could deal with the whole problem all at once, and perhaps several friends.
Could such a thing possibly exist?
Several friends, no, but on the we can provide you with the rolling pin.
My word!
This, it's at the back of the studio. You can see it's 100 metres long.
Oh, yes, I can see that stagehand is angling it towards us at this very moment. You can
just
see
careful!
You can just observe it passing in front of the camera. That'll take a few minutes, so
We'll keep it rolling at the bottom of the screen. In the meantime, the safety warnings on this do say that you should not turn around very quickly while using it.
Unless you're making a slapstick movie.
Indeed, a second use. Not appreciatively.
And who doesn't love those Laurel and Hardy classics in which they're attempting to bake a 100-metre-long pastry cake and then one of them turns round and hilarity ensues?
Of course, these things generally culminate in a food fight, but we do have a cake sort that you can use for that as well. So that's why we're doing a special offer to buy them both together.
Indeed, if you buy both of these together, then you can get them for the low, low special price of £31.99 RRP. Not including VAT.
So buy now. Buy now before we run out.
I'll take aim.
And points go to Rosaire because I want the pastry cake recipe.
I think you'll find it's called cake pie.
I wanted to call it cake pie, but apparently that's copyrighted as well.
Oh, curses.
What's the copyright on a cake sword? Is it... I assume there's like a comic or a TV show or something where somebody has a cake sword. But no.
You read far too much wit into my jokes.
Although you think you'll find that all cake swords have to come from Cake Swordia.
But sadly, that's brought us to the end of our show. And tallying up the points, I can see that this week's winner is Roz.
Oh, my word.
And to finish off the show, Roz is going to thank a bunch of people that got them where they are today in a manner of an Oscar acceptance speech. So bearing in mind that we're being far too restrictive today, can we have a fictional character that appeared specifically on a cartoon?
Danger Mouse.
Danger Mouse? Can I have a real figure from history that you learnt about in
the
school?
Author of the dictionary.
You're a panellist, shut up. Audience!
Leon Trotsky.
Leon Trotsky.
Okay, someone who people more than everyone would have learned about.
Trotsky, Carl. You Philistines.
Cromwell. And finally, a job, a profession.
Straight jacket maker.
So, Roz will have to bank a straight jacket maker, Danger Mouse, and
Cromwell.
And Cromwell. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. We've been being far too restrictive. The panel has been Chris Moten, Dan Addis, Dave Birch, and our winner, Ross Hickman.
Thank you all so much. I just want to thank everyone that's got me to where I am today. I mean, without, for example, Oliver Cromwell, if he hadn't have deposed King Charles, yes, that's how it's called, if he hadn't have done that, then and imposed his order of Protestancy and what's the other one? That one that we're having at the moment.
Republicanism?
What?
Austerity.
Austerity, yes. If he hadn't imposed austerity, then we would indeed never have needed to raise our spirits by making this panel show today, and I would never have been able to become the winner. And you know, that he's not the only person who's helped me to get to where I am today. I mean, there's Danger Mouse as well, with that thing that he does. I had a comic book with him in it once. I think he's voiced by David Jason. Or was that Penfold? But you know, without that comic book that I had when I was about 8, inspiring me to forget everything that I was trying to say on the radio, you know, where would we be today? The answer is that we would be somewhere else. And that's where I'd just like to thank
the very special person to me, in fact, the person who's probably helped me most of all through this difficult time of making an acceptance speech, is my straitjacket maker. If I didn't know that I would have the comfort and safety of that restrictive binding garment to return to after we finish this recording, then I don't know how I would have got through it. And I'm going to have to go now. I need the straitjacket. Yes, but yes, with the buckles. Yes, yes, with it. No tighter than that. Yes, thank you.